Church, it is great to see you today. We certainly are on a holiday weekend. Thank you for those who are able to be with us today. We certainly have a lot of folks that are out of town. Perhaps even some weather may have kept some away, but I am thankful you are here. I do also want to say thanks to those who have helped lead us in our Bible classes this morning and our service thus far today. And I especially just want to say thanks to Steve Johnson. Great job. Steve, that's the first time, I believe, here at Azalea City. He's resided over the table, and didn't he do an excellent job? And what a story. And it is Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. And so in the midst of the burgers and the barbecue, let's remember men like Joseph who laid down their life so that we can be free today. I am very thankful that we live in the United States of America. I'm very thankful that we have the freedom today because of those sacrifices to sing praises to our Father, to read Scripture, to say prayers, and now to be able to gather and study His Word and challenge ourselves. And so today we're going to be talking about what God, as we just sang, is really building here. We sang, God, build your kingdom here, and we are His kingdom, right? We are His church. And you know that when you read in the Bible and you hear kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, know that it's a synonym for the church. That's what we are. That's who we are. We are His priests. If we are baptized into Jesus Christ, you are a priest in His church, a saint in His church today. And that is a blessing. But some may be thinking, hey, I'm not there. Well, guess what? No matter how old we are, we all still need to be building. We all still need to be growing. But today, I do want to talk about building, allowing God to mold, build, and take us in a direction, surrendering all so that He can take us in a direction that He wants us to be. You know, in my lifetime, because of my children and probably even others' children, I have been able to build some Legos. Legos are pretty amazing. First of all, if you have never put together a Lego set, you better get your wallet out because they are not cheap. Lego believes in what product they have, but they do a good job. They give you an instruction book, and they give you these packs, and these packs are all numbered. And the instruction book will tell you to take this brick and put it with this brick, and first you're just putting bricks together, but by the end of it, you've got the picture on the box if you follow the instructions. You know, all of my Legos that I have put together with my children, for my children, or others, they have not been really very big. There are some amazing Legos in this world, though. I figured that the Buzz Lightyear would go hand in hand with our upcoming VBS, but that is built out of Legos. That's Superman, and then that is a Ford pickup truck built out of Legos. I've never built anything to that degree, but I could imagine it took a long time. But you know what would take even less time? Tearing them down. Destroying them. You see, it takes a long time to build something like that on the screen, but it takes a short time to tear it down. Maybe we have felt like those bricks, those Lego bricks, or even literally the bricks in your home, that we have been built up. Maybe there have been times in our life that people bragged on us and it built us up a little bit, but then somebody came and maybe it was the way we were raised, maybe it was in somebody at school, maybe it was a relative, and they did something, they said something, and it tore us completely down. Well, then somebody else in our life, and they built us up slowly, but then along the way, somebody came and tore us down. You know, if that's you today, you feel like you've been knocked down, you've been scattered, and there are bricks everywhere, let me just tell you, you're not alone. Because we're all broken people. We're all people that need building. You see, especially my oldest child would like to build the Legos then start. So what I would do is then start putting a little super glue on them. And once they set, there was no tearing them apart. Maybe that degraded them. Maybe it did something. I don't know. But at the end of the day, it was no more tearing them down. And so I say all that to say this. You need to find your glue. You need to find today that glue that's going to keep you built strong. Built to... That glue is Jesus Christ. That glue is His church. It's His kingdom. And that's what we need. We need one another. Because life is challenging. Life is difficult. Virgil prayed it this morning in the Shepherd's Prayer. He said, this life can be difficult to live in sometimes. And it really is. And it is challenging. And sometimes through life and circumstances, we can become discouraged. We may look at ourselves and we're our own worst critics, right? You may look in the mirror today and you think you are the worst Christian ever born. You may think, hey, I'm struggling with this. You know why? Because Satan reminds us, hey, you remember those mistakes you made? You remember that time you were in that prayer and you were wrestling and you didn't know the answer to it? You remember that old habit that you used to give in to? You remember that person that hurt you? There was a person that hurt you all those years ago. And, you know, we struggle with all of that because Satan reminds us. Satan is one of the ones that wants to come and use anybody and anything he can to tear your life down. But the good news of the gospel is this. God's not finished building any of us yet. He's still molding us. He's still constructing us. He's still getting us to the point where He wants us to be. Here's the beauty of this life, this Christian life. Once you surrender your life to Christ, it's not about us anymore. You know, I've said behind this wall, I've said this many times over the years, behind this wall is water. Once I'm immersed into that water, God contacts me with the blood of Jesus and I come up out of that water, I'm born again. I'm added to the kingdom. My sins are forgiven. I've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? It's not about me anymore. It's about what God wants me to be for Him. And Paul understood that. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He understood it. And Paul, he addressed the church at Corinth inspired-wise, twice. And some say that Paul wrote three letters, but we have two of them, right, that are inspired by God. And so, in that writing, he had to get on to them. He had to correct them. Because they were a bunch of bricks that were scattered all over the place. And you know, when I think of Azalea City, I think we've got a great congregation. I say it every week. If you're a visitor and you're looking for a place, this is it. Why would I spend my entire ministry life here? Because this place is easy to love. This place loves me and I love them. We're not perfect by any means, nor am I perfect by any means, right? But this place is phenomenal. And so when I think maybe there's a struggle from time to time that we encounter, maybe from time to time we have some minute thing that comes up. Well, and maybe in that minor thing, sometimes you feel the pressure of it as a leader in the church and a shepherd in the church, and you might think, wow, things are really this and things are really that. But then you know what I do? I think about the church at Corinth. Boy, if God could use them, He can certainly use this great place. The church at Corinth were a bunch of bricks scattered everywhere. In fact, they didn't even like each other. They were divided amongst themselves. And so it gets us to one of our readings here today, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read together verses 5 through 9. You know this passage. You've heard it. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Paul's writing. Servants through whom you believed, As the Lord assigned to each, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his wages according to his labor. Don't miss this. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. Now, here's why I think that passage is fascinating. Paul starts it out by really getting onto them because they were divided. They were immature in their faith. They were focused on people. In fact, they were like, hey, I'm so thankful that, you know, I follow Paul. Paul, he does such a great job. He does such a great job speaking. I love that man, and I'm going to follow him. Others said, hey, no, I'm going to follow Apollos. I'm going to follow him. He does such a great job. He baptized me. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to worship him. Paul said, you're all wrong. He said, I'm nothing. Apollos is nothing. It's God who you need to be following. And so he's getting on to them because they're divided, they're immature, and they're following man. But here's the beautiful thing about it. At the end of that passage, he said, don't miss this. You're still God's building. You still are God's. And he's still working on you. This church, this kingdom, God's still working on it. He's still building it. And he's still shaping us into what he wants us to become. And so today, if your life is scattered, if your life is busted wide open, if your heart is broken into pieces, I want you to hear this message today. This message is going to come from passages we've read from Dawson, from Taylor, from what we just read now, and we're going to see something beautiful that God is striving to do with his church right here at Azalea City and throughout the world today. And here's the first thing I want you to see. I want you to see that we are clay in the potter's hands. Again, if you go back to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, Paul said there, you are God's field, God's building. Notice the ownership. He said that you, that I, that we are God's. We belong to him. We are in his possession. That means we're not self-made. There's nothing I have done where I should say, hey, look at me. It also means we're not random. God didn't just randomly, or life didn't just randomly happen to bring you here. It's part of God's purpose. But here's another thing. You're not just abandoned material that's just scattered out in the dirt. You're special. We, as the church, even as individuals of this body, if we will allow it, in the hands of the master builder, no matter what our life is today, we can be something special. Go ahead and look at what was Isaiah said in Isaiah 64:8. That was our opening scripture this morning. Isaiah described it this way, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter, and we are all the work of your hand. Now let's talk about clay for a moment. If you don't know clay, children, think about Play-Doh, right? Think about something that is made that can be formed and can be made. You understand that clay is not impressive by itself. I mean, it's just a big glob of clay, right? In fact, if it gets a little wet, clay especially, if it gets a little wet, it gets slick, it gets slippery, and it gets very messy because it's soft and it's unformed. Again, by itself, clay has no beauty or purpose, and that's us. We're clay. Isaiah said it. We're just a big ball of mess, right? Without God, that's what we are. We're a big ball of nasty, messy clay. But here's the beauty. When clay is placed into the hands of a skilled potter, everything changes. You see, the potter sees what the clay can become. That ball of clay, that messy mess, it can become a beautiful vase. It can become a beautiful bowl. It can be molded into something that can be very, very special and handed down from generation to generation. And church, sometimes we forget that God specializes in unfinished people. Notice, God didn't choose gold to describe us. He didn't choose silver to describe us. He chose clay. Why? Because clay can be molded. It can be shaped. It can be corrected. It can be transformed. Now, I do think that there are some, not necessarily here, but there are some out there, that they want salvation without allowing God to shape them. Sometimes we may want rescuing, but God not to form us or remake us. Some want heaven. I mean, I think if you were to survey the majority of the believing world, and I'm not talking about those who are active in whatever Christian faith they have. I'm just saying if you survey the majority of those who believe in God in the world, they want heaven. But they don't want to surrender. God is not just saving us from our sin. By the way, that'd be enough, right? If you think about how bad sin is. I sent Jesus just to save you from sin. That's not the only reason, right? He's shaping us to be the very image of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined, get this, to be conformed to the image of his Son. He's saying, I didn't just save you from sin, I'm forming you to show Jesus to others. The goal is not merely attendance. I like attendance. I like numbers. I want to knock the walls out of this place. But if all we are numbers, then we've missed the point. The question we have to ask ourselves right now, personally, is this. Why am I here today? Am I here just to be a number? Am I here because it's just the right thing to do? Or am I here to be transformed? That's what today is about. That's what our worship to God is about. Pouring it out and then praying and allowing Him to transform us. The question is, are we soft enough to do that? Are we still soft enough to be molded, or have we become hardened? Hardened by pride? Hardened by bitterness? Hardened by disappointment? Hardened by sin? Hardened by comfort? You know, there are some that don't like to be directed. There are some people that are very smart. I mean, very, very smart people, and they are faithful in the church or faithful to the Lord, and you know what? They think they've got it figured out better than everybody else. They think they're the smartest spiritual person in the room, and because of that, I don't need direction from anyone else. See, that's not being willing to be molded. That's pride. That's pride. And so, you know, as a preacher in the church, as an elder in the church, a shepherd in the church, brothers and sisters, I haven't figured it out. I haven't figured it out. I said, bro, I know. I haven't figured it out. I still need to be shaped. Do I feel like I have a good Bible knowledge? Yes, I do. And I'm proud of that. I love the Bible. I love studying it. I love digging into it, but I don't know it as well as I need to know it. Why would I rebel? Why would I not be a team player? Because I've hardened. I've got set in my ways. You see, clay that hardens, you know what? It becomes difficult to shape. And one of the most dangerous things that can happen spiritually is when a heart is unwilling to be molded by God. Number two, which goes right along with that, the potter. You see, the potter sees what we cannot see. Now, the way society is, and I think it carries over into the church because we're part of society, and even though we are called out, right, as part of the church, we are still part of society around us. We're in a comparison world. And so people look at themselves, you know what they're going to see? They're going to see flaws. Listen, I am terrible at seeing every flaw in me. Terrible at it. You know, my self-esteem is not very good. I've had low self-esteem. And so somebody can take a picture and, you know, the first thing I'm going to do, and I'm just being honest with you, zoom in and look at me. And then I think, man, that's a terrible picture. Even though everybody else is beautiful in the picture, I would imagine I'm not the only one. Because we're really good at flaws, right? Last week in my Bible class, I messed up. You know, and people say it was a great Bible class, but all I could remember is me messing up. I've done it in sermons, right? Why? Because we're really good at seeing our flaws, our failures. We're really good at seeing our weaknesses, our regrets, our insecurities. But the potter, he sees purpose. Don't you love this? Taylor read it to us. Jeremiah chapter 18, 3 and 4. You need to underline this in whatever you have, a Bible device or whatever, highlight it. Listen to these words. Jeremiah, so I went down to the potter's house. God told him to, right? Go to the potter's house. And there, this is what he observes. He sees the potter working at his potter's wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. That'd be like Terry sitting at the potter's wheel, right? You give me this clay, and I'm sitting at the wheel, and I'm trying to make this vessel because I'm not very experienced, I'm not very good, I spoiled it. Well, this guy is experienced, and he's still messed up. Sometimes when I mess up, I want to just be like, and just break it and start over, right? But listen to this. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hands, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Instead of getting mad, instead of seeing the flaws, instead of seeing the mistakes, he just made something brand new. He molded it into something different. God goes on to say, tell Israel I can do that to them. But I think he's telling us, the church today, hey, I can do that with y'all. The vessel was flawed. The potter didn't throw it away. He reworked it. To me, that may be one of the greatest truths somebody here needs to hear today. If you're willing, If you're willing to be softened, no matter how much pride you have, no matter how much you think you've got it figured out or how broken you are, if we are willing to be softened, God can rework us into something very special. Maybe today your marriage feels like it's cracked. Maybe your faith feels weak. Maybe your mind feels exhausted. Maybe your heart feels wounded. But I want you to hear this clearly. Brokenness does not disqualify us from God's purpose. In fact, sometimes brokenness is where God's rebuilding begins. Despite all the Corinthians went through, Paul, still under the inspiration, said, "You're God's building." Why? Because God was still working on them. God's still working on us. Philippians 1:6, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Add a third point in here. And in that point, if you look at it, there are a lot of different workers. But we got to remember there's just one builder. And so just quickly, I want you to hear this. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, Paul wrote, and you know this passage, "I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the growth, God supplied the increase." He's saying there, we all have different assignments, we all have different gifts, we got different personalities, but we got to remember it's all about the one builder. The church at Corinth was divided because they were worshiping people. Do the workers matter? You better believe it. We need workers. I believe the preacher matters. I believe the youth minister matters. The associate minister matters. The Bible class teachers matter. The shepherds matter. The song leaders matter. They all matter. But the builder matters the most. Sometimes, if you were to go out and you saw a construction site clearing a part of land. They get it cleared and then they shut down the equipment. They shut down the workers until maybe it's the next permit or the next phase or whatever, and you stand at that construction site and you hear nothing. You're like, hey, they did all this and nothing's happening. Because now all you see is the dirt. You might see some lumber and stuff over here. There's no noise. It's just a bunch of unfinished work. But the general contractor over that project, he sees the vision. He knows what it's going to look like when it's finished. And sometimes maybe our own lives can feel like a spiritual construction zone. Bunch of noise, bunch of mess, bunch of dust, bunch of confusion. But God, the master builder, he sees what it can be, what it should be. And so number four, we need to remember we were made on purpose, but we were made for a purpose. Paul again, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, I love it, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. We belong to Him. And because we belong to God, our life has purpose. Some right now in this room even may feel like, hey, I'm at this age. Hey, I'm at this point in my life. Hey, I've done this in my life. Hey, whatever. My life doesn't feel like it has any purpose." Well, let me remind us all that Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." That word workmanship, it's important. It comes from the Greek word poiema. Poiema. It means masterpiece. It means craftsmanship. It means work of art. Now, when you hear the word poema, and if you were to look at the spelling, it sounds a lot like poem. It's where we get the word poem. What's a poem when all these different thoughts, all these different pieces, they come together to make something so beautiful? That's what he said. We're his poem. We're his poemia. We're not an accident. And by the way, I get when people say, oh, this is our accident. I understand that what that means. But there are no accidents. We're not meaningless. We're not forgotten. Our story matters. Even the scars that we've obtained through this life matter. Because God can use pain. He can use failure, weakness, hard times, and fill in the blank to meet us right where we are and shape us into something that is so useful in His kingdom. Some of the strongest Christians today are people who have been broken deeply, and they allow the potter to rework them into something else. In closing, I want to tell you about this Japanese art form that's really beautiful. It's called Kintsugi. Here's what Kintsugi is. It's a broken piece of pottery that somebody dropped or it fell off or what have you, and it broke. And people would just be like, oh, well, it's broken. I'm just going to throw it away. Well, here's what Kintsugi does. Instead of throwing away that broken pottery, they repair it with gold. Instead of trying to hide all the cracks, the gold highlights them. You see, those broken places become part of the beauty. The object then, it was broken, they take gold, they put it back together, and guess what? It becomes much more valuable than it was because now it's restored. And that's what God is willing to do with us. The world says, throw away the broken pieces. God says, bring them to me. The world sees ruined people. God sees redeemable people. Psalm 147:3, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. In closing, I want to remind you of basically, a biblical Kintsugi. You remember when Paul was going to Rome as a prisoner and he was on the boat at the end of Acts? And that great storm came, was been like a hurricane or some tsunami type storm. And you remember people were ready to bail off and he said, oh no, an angel visited me and nobody's going to lose their life. This ship's going to break apart. But nobody's going to lose their life as long as you stay in this boat. You talk about hard times. You remember, slowly but surely, that ship starts breaking apart. They finally, after a night and day out there in the waters, they see the land, Malta, right? Now, some were able to, with their strength, still swim to shore. But those who couldn't, you know what they looked around and found? A broken piece of the ship. And they used that broken piece to get to shore. You see, that's Romans 8:28. Whatever's broken around you, The land is right here. God's saying, latch on to that broken piece. Whatever it may be, get here, and I'm going to put you back together. Today, if you haven't allowed God to build you at all, today's the day. Walk this aisle. Confess His name. Let's baptize you. Let's allow God to contact you with His Son's blood. But today, if you have done that, and you allowed circumstances and life to harden you, understand that if you take some hard clay, it takes a while, but if you start mixing in some water, eventually it will soften again. Today, soften yourself. Allow God to rework you, to remold you. That's what the church is. We're all broken people trying to get to a perfect place. Today, if you have a need, won't you come as together we stand and sing.